Grace, mercy, peace be to each of you from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, his only Son, and our only Lord and Savior. Amen. Is she feeling better now? A little bit? Okay, that's good. So last week I made a boo-boo in the beginning of my sermon, according to at least one person in this congregation, and that is I did not tell any jokes or try to tell any funnies. I'm not sure how funny they are. So I'm going to correct that mistake by trying to tell you three this morning. All right? And you all decide how funny they are. I will say in advance, they do require some thought. Okay? All right. So this is a passenger in an airport. I couldn't find my luggage at the airport baggage area, so I went to the lost luggage office and reported the loss. The woman there smiled and told me not to worry because she was a trained professional and she said I was in good hands. So she asked me first, has your plane arrived yet? I mean, some of these could be from real life, you know. While working at a pizza parlor, I observed a man ordering a small pizza to go. He appeared to be alone and the cook asked him if he would like it cut into four pieces or six. He thought about it for some time, then he said, just cut it into four pieces. I don't think I'm hungry enough to eat six. Is somebody booing? Look, if you want the right to boo in this church, you've got to become a member. Oh, yes, and then there's that. All right, last one. A noted psychiatrist was a guest speaker at an academic function where an important senator happened to appear. The senator took the opportunity to schmooze the good doctor a bit and asked him a question with which he was most at ease. So he said, would you mind telling me, doctor, how you detect a mental deficiency in someone who appears completely normal? The doctor replied, nothing is easier. You just ask a simple question, which anyone should have no problem answering. And if the person hesitates, then that puts you on the track. So what sort of question? Asked the senator. Well, the doctor said, you might ask, Captain Cook made three trips around the world and died during one of them. Which one? This is a good political joke. The senator thought about it for a moment, and then he said with a nervous laugh, you wouldn't have to have another example, would you? I must confess I don't know much about history. Okay, yes, we do elect them. All right, so if we may, does that make up for last week? A little, okay. Except for Bill's opinion, which doesn't count. So last Sunday, we were observing Labor Day weekend, and we were talking about the blessing of work for us as humans and the blessing of good works, in particular for us as Christians. And we said that the blessing of work was that we are the mask of God as we care for the earth, as we provide for our loved ones, and as we help society function. In other words, the whole mask of God idea is that God is working through us and God is working in us as human beings in the world. When we teach in our classrooms, it is God teaching through us and in us. When we collect the trash, it is God collecting the trash in us and through us. When we make pizza or sandwiches, it is God doing that through us and in us. Okay, so we are literally the mask of God in whom and through whom God is working in the world for those three reasons. Slightly on a different plane is the blessing of good works. Okay, and that is what? That we are, as Christians, then the hands, the feet, the voice, and the ears of Jesus as we bring his kingdom to people in their need. Okay, so when we serve people, when we listen to people, when we pray for people, when we share with people, that is Jesus, again, working in us and through us to bless others in their need, to bring his kingdom into their presence, into their lives, and to bring them in contact with him. All right, so today we're going to kind of continue this sort of work and good works theme as we look at the tongue. You know, that little piece of flesh that flaps in your mouth and makes speech possible. If you were paying attention to the New Testament reading that Jamie was reading from James, James doesn't have a whole lot of nice things to say about the tongue, does he? Did he? He, in fact, had some really harsh things to say about the tongue and its power and what it can do. Do you know why? Because he is connecting back to what Jesus said several years before when he was on earth. And those things are these. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's one of my favorite verses. Okay? You know how you sometimes run across a person that just won't shut up? If you listen long enough, because of that, if you listen long enough, you will eventually hear and see what's in their heart. Because they will eventually let it out. Because it's what out of overflows from the heart that the mouth speaks. And then Jesus said this, very similarly, the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And that's how come James said some very not nice things about the mouth, the tongue, because the tongue, the mouth, is a reflection of the soul, of the heart. It is the mouth that is the window to the soul, not your eyes. Sorry, folks. Okay, I've mentioned this before here. The tongue tells the world around you what is actually inside of you, what you're thinking, what you're feeling. And that is why 2 weeks ago, if you might remember, in the gospel reading, I read these words of Jesus. From within, out of people's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. What a list. Notice how quite a few of those things are verbal. Quite a few of those things you do with your mouth, including murder. When you call someone names, when you insult them, when you bully them, when you degrade them, when you denigrate them. So notice that sin does not come into us from outside. Sin comes out of us from inside. This is key. This is key to understanding human nature and to dealing with people. Now, it is true that you can learn to be a better sinner from someone else. Yes, okay, someone else from the outside can teach you how to be a better sinner, but the source of sin, the origin of sin, is inside. And that's why we baptize infants, by the way. Okay? Because you know what you guys have at home now? You have two of those. Plus, you and your wife make four. Same thing with all the rest of us. Okay? This is us. The modern world in which we live rejects this view, by the way. And maybe some of you who are here today reject this view also, because you have begun to think like the world thinks and you no longer think like Jesus thinks. Well, today may be a good day to change your mind. The modern world of how to raise kids doesn't believe this. The modern world on how to educate kids in schools doesn't believe this. The modern world of politics doesn't believe this. The modern world, at least a lot of the modern world in law enforcement, doesn't believe this. I shouldn't say the police, but like in the legal system. The modern world of psychology doesn't believe this. The modern world blames the outside sources for a person's misbehavior. The person themselves is not responsible, because somehow it came into them from the outside. And so therefore, because the person is not responsible, therefore they do not have to have any accountability. They do not have to have any consequences, because it's not their fault, because it came into them from the outside. the modern world says. And folks, I don't know if you're doing the math right now in your heads, but when you reject this and you blame other people on the outside, that's why the world in which we live is becoming more and more of a mess. Okay? Because the modern world lives in denial of this. And so the modern world more and more is letting people do whatever they want, act on their impulses, and not have any consequences. And not have any accountability. And so our modern world is in the condition that it's in. At least the modern Western world and our country. Okay? Now that was a little bit of a digression, I grant you. A little bit of a tangent. But it is connected because it's connected to the tongue. So let's get back to the tongue. Because the tongue reflects this as a person keeps talking. So the tongue then is connected directly to the heart in which all that stuff is found. And the tongue can do into a person's life, another person's life, the tongue can do more damage than hands. You can sometimes harm a person more with your tongue than with your hands. And that's why James says, it is a restless evil, full of deadly poison, because with it we curse people who are not only made in the image of God, but also redeemed by the blood of Christ on the cross. That happens when, like I said before, when we engage in insults. That happens when people bully. That happens when people degrade and denigrate. That happens when people are prejudiced and have stereotypes. That happens when people digress into racism and racist things. Okay? That's what that looks like. And you can see a lot of it on social media. There's a whole lot of people that are raging, except they're using their fingers as an extension of their tongue. So the bottom line is that connected to the human heart, our tongue is our enemy. This is not the way we need to live. This is not the way we ought to live. This is not the way that many of us want to live. So therefore, the tongue becomes our enemy, and it also becomes the enemy of others when we use it in this way. So then what's the answer? How do you solve this? How do we turn our tongue into our friend? How do we take the ability of language that we have and make it a friend to us and to others? Well, we can't sever the connection between the tongue and the heart. That connection is always going to be there. So we got to do something else. If we want to turn our tongue into our friend, and if it is connected to our heart, and if our heart's the problem, what do we need to do? We need to have a change of heart. We need to get a new heart. Because when the heart changes, what else changes? The words change. Right? When you get a new heart, you speak new words. Words that you're not accustomed to speaking. Words that other people don't speak. So the answer, the solution is, have a change of heart. Get a new heart. That's why the Bible teaches us to pray like this. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Because if God were to create a pure heart in you, guess what will be coming out of your mouth? Pure words. That's why the Bible teaches us to pray like this. Teach me your way, O Lord, and give me an undivided heart. Because part of the problem with our heart sometimes, it kind of divides its priorities and its focus and its attention and its values. That's why the Bible teaches us to pray like this. Turn my heart towards your word and not towards selfish gain. Because very often the evil things we speak have to do with what? they have to do with us wanting to get ahead at somebody else's expense. All right, so if we were to turn our heart towards God's word, guess what will be coming out of our mouth? Something resembling God's word. And the Bible not only teaches us to pray like this, the Bible also tells us what God promises to do for us. God says, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. That's where the new heart comes from. The new heart comes from knowing God. And the Bible also tells us this promise of God, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit within them. And I will remove from them their heart of stone, that's the cold, hard, old heart that we're born with, and instead I will give them a heart of flesh, the new heart, the soft heart, the warm heart. And if God were to do this heart transplant in us, guess what would be coming out of our mouth? Not cold, hard words, but soft, warm words. Because they would come from a new heart. And every Ash Wednesday, we therefore read these words from the prophet Joel. Return to me, God says, with all your heart. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. And we know he is this way, not only because the Bible says so, we know he is this way because of what we saw in Jesus and what we see in Jesus. And we see the slowness to anger. Jesus got angry a couple of times in the Gospels. If you read the Gospels and you don't catch his anger a couple of times, you're missing it's going all over your head. But it takes a long time to get him angry. God is like that. But what you do see in the Gospels all over the place is how Jesus abounds in love. It's just overflowing. It's just oozing out. He's full of this amazing love. That's how God is. And that's the invitation from God for us to return to him, to repent, and get a new heart. Let him do a heart transplant. When he does the heart transplant, the words will change. This is what it means to be born again, by the way. This is what born again looks like. You get a new heart from God. And this is also what it means to repent. To repent means to return to God. To repent means to revive the new heart that he has given you. Repentance is not a matter of just simply saying, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I was terrible. Repentance has to do with newness, a new direction, a new faith, a new values, new behaviors, new words. And that is how our heart becomes our friend. Because when our heart is like this, when we get that heart transplant from God, we can then bless God like we want to, but then we can also bless and speak well of and speak well to other people. Because from his new heart that we have now, we can use our tongue to speak love and to speak hope and to speak peace and to speak truth and to speak mercy. Follow? This is what Jesus came into the world to do, folks. Remember, he came into the world to die and rise again, to forgive our sins, to justify us in the eyes of God. But not only just simply some sort of divine transaction that happens up in heaven. Yes, he came into the world to die and rise for that. But he also came into the world to die and rise to do something within us. It's not just a divine transaction. It's a very personal thing. He came into this world to die and rise again to give us new hearts. To do a heart transplant. And from these new hearts then that he gives us, we can speak new words of life to a very needy world that hears too much about death. And I'm not so much talking about what's going on in terms of the armed conflicts in the world. That's plenty of death in a physical way. But there's also plenty of death in the world that is being said and promoted. I'm going to pick on social media again. I'm not on social media. I'm not aware of these things personally. I hear about it. I have better things to do with my time, even if it's just to watch TV like an old man, than to be on social media. Okay? But there's an awful lot of things going on social media that kill people. It kills them emotionally. It kills them psychologically. It kills them mentally. It kills them relationally, because there's all kinds of put downs that are going on, and all kinds of blame is going on, and all kinds of hate is going on. There's a whole lot of death that the world is exposed to. But God gives his people new hearts so that from those new hearts they can speak life, new words of life into a very needy world. And unfortunately, there are days, yes, when the old heart within us speaks up with old words of death, but we know how to overcome that, right? We know how to overcome our heart, our old heart in those days. We overcome it with what? With repentance. We overcome the old heart that still lingers within us with repentance. Unfortunately, we're going to keep our old heart until the day we die. That's not going away entirely. So unfortunately, therefore, you can say that until death, our heart is actually our frenemy, to use one of these non-English words that have been made up lately. Okay? But there's truth to this. Because on Sundays, the old heart is going to get the upper hand, and we're going to say things that we have no business saying. But then there are the other days when we repent, and the new heart gets the upper hand in our lives, and we're going to say things that God wants us to say and that God's actually giving us to say and that we want to say too. So there's going to be this battle, if you will, this seesaw. But repentance then is the gift of God that helps us return to him by faith. And repentance is what takes us from those days when the old heart rears its ugly head and enables the new heart to come forth and speak words of life, speak words of hope, speak words of faith, speak words of truth, speak words of joy, speak words of encouragement. And repentance then helps revive that new heart so that as God's people, we can be speaking new words. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's continue our service now with the offering.